Amen. Thank you. Great to be back. We, Carol leaned to me, and it's so good to be home to our home congregation. So we don't want this to sound the wrong way, but Carol leaned to me as Greg was doing the thorough and beautiful explanation of the Lord's Supper, and then the privilege we get to participate in giving. And Carol said, "That's the best lesson I've heard in 3 weeks." Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. We do really, really love you as a church family, and going anywhere else just reminds us how much we're blessed here with men and women of faith and strength and talents in the Lord. It's great to be home. It is exciting to be here. I want to thank you for having the cold weather while we were gone and warming it up. Get back. One very exciting thing that happens this week, it's already been mentioned in prayer a little bit here or there, is that David and Jennifer, but she likes to be called Jenny, David and Jenny Shipley are coming in tomorrow night. And this is the second a man who has gotten through the process that we have of resume, of letters, of tapes, of telephonic interviews, of conversations, to the point where, okay, this is somebody we want to meet. And obviously the Pratts fit in that category, and we're up here last summer. We've gone through, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 additional resumes and individuals, many phone conversations. We've kind of gotten to the point with David and Jennifer Shipley. They're coming up from Texas. They're from Wyoming. Their resume and photograph are on the back wall. They'll be David will be teaching the Tuesday night men's class, men's group at, this week it's meeting at Jim's house, Jim Nelson's house. It's normally at Mark Keller's, but Mark's out. Wednesday, he'll be doing the adult Bible class here. Thursday, we can all meet him and spend the day of Thanksgiving with him. And then Sunday, he'll be doing the sermon and the Bible class, and we'll be able to talk to him on Sunday. By the way, in the middle of all that, everyone's invited, and please invite your friends and neighbors as it's appropriate. If you don't have a place to go for Thanksgiving, come here. This is never intended to replace the good traditional home Thanksgiving. So if your family, you get together with your family at home for your home Thanksgiving meal, great. But there's a lot of people who are placed up here in Alaska who don't have those extended families up here. And so we're as a church, we are that family, and we'll be together. Starting at 12:30, and you may still need some sign-up, whatever. But that's all coming this Thursday. It's exciting to be back. We want you to meet and evaluate the Shipleys to see if that's the right fit for us. Let's pray together and then go to our Father in prayer and then get into this lesson. Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough for who you are and what you've done for us. Father, we praise you. But if we spent every day and every minute in voice and in attitude praising you, it still wouldn't be enough. So our thanks and praise really needs to be reflected in the life we live, that we can be rejoicing in studying your word, that we can be spreading your light, your love, your will can be that which we participate in. We look for your work and join you. Father, help us to love one another and be busy of doing the things that you give us talent and time to do. Thank you so much, Father. For your church, and we pray that we are wise and careful in how we handle your kingdom and church here in Alaska. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would have to say, I would rejoice in saying that we have a lot of good fathers here. You've met them all across the state, but let's just be parochial. Let's just talk about our own family right here. We have a lot of good fathers, a lot of men who take time and effort and attention to be with their children, who take raising their children something that's significant and important to them. who attend to the needs and the time of their children. And so it's significant when Jesus talks about us being fathers, but then he in the middle of Matthew 7, of what we just read, TJ just read for us, Jesus is talking about God blessing you. God will hear your prayers. God will answer your prayers. God will attend to what you need. For which father among you, if his son asks for a stone, or for bread, would give him a stone, or asks for fish, would give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts. I'm sorry, Jesus. I thought we had some good fathers around us. You see, the qualifier good, as it describes God, doesn't even come close to describing us. We tend to be more casual with words than God is. Jesus says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts, what kind of a gift giver is your heavenly Father going to be? What kind of a gift giver is your heavenly Father going to be? In Psalm 35, Psalm 35 and verse 27. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall declare your righteousness and your praise all day long. This has been a truth about God all through his covenants. God delights in us being well and doing well. I don't need to read Malachi chapter 3 because we just read it, but it's right in the middle of my notes. The interesting thing about Malachi 3 that Greg just read for us, is that God says, test me now. Malachi isn't, the entire book of Malachi is a review basically of God saying, what's going on here? Why is every part of our relationship difficult? Why do you not honor me? Why do you not obey me? Why do you not listen to me? Why do you not tithe? So the entire book of Malachi practically is a rebuke to the nation of Israel. But in the middle of his rebuke, he doesn't just rebuke them. He says, test me now in this and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven. He says, I'm going to bless you so much you don't have room to store it. You're going to be awash in my loving blessings. Now, we're careful never to turn that into a prosperity gospel. Don't ever think that God is interested in making sure that our bank accounts are full and our cars are big and shiny and our houses are large and stylish. But God is absolutely interested in us being blessed. The whole point of the gospel is for him to be our Father. The whole point of Christ coming on the cross is that we can have a close and attended relationship with our Heavenly Father. But it's not just something that crops up in the New Covenant. It goes all the way back. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Jump down to verse 23. Psalm 37, now verse 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong. because the Lord is the one holding his hand. What a great promise. What a loving, what an attentive Father we have. Now, even in this, like I said, people have mistaught or misapplied or become confused in reading Scripture because sometimes it sounds like God is guaranteeing us prosperity or God is guaranteeing us an easy life or a smooth walk. But even in this, Psalm 37, he's talking about evildoers. He's talking about difficulty. What we read in Psalm 35 was in talking about those who would enjoy the writer's fall. Enjoy, they would delight in his humiliation and distress. But that gets in too much of the detail I don't want to get into right now. This even here, it's not a promise of a smooth and a light walk. But God is clear about his delight. He delights in our way. He delights in our walk. When we walk with him, holding his hand like a father, God is delighted. Father and family is a very, very good way to remind yourself of what God is like and of how he reacts to you. Of what God is like and how he reacts to you. We are in the middle of planning, Carol and I and Carol's sister and her family are in the middle of planning for December 2010 is her parents' 60th wedding anniversary. 16th of December, if I'm right, 2010, they'll have been married 60 years. So we're talking to her sister and her family, say, what do we do? We got to do something for them. We'll buy them a cruise ticket. We'll go save up and, you know, we'll send them on a cruise somewhere, or we'll buy them a vacation, or we'll get them something really nice for the house. Well, they got in kind of the middle of this, and not literally, but Carol and I got to stay at Patrick Air Force Base, and the children this past week when we were in Florida. Save some money that way, staying in the military places. But anyway, so they've got these. Patrick is right connected with and associated with Kennedy Space Center, and we saw the launch and all that stuff. But they've got these places right on the beach. Well, when Carol's parents heard that, they said, well, we know you're trying to put something together for our 60th. Why don't we just get together? Because there's nothing we would like better than to be with our children and grandchildren. They don't want a cruise. They wouldn't have liked a cruise anyway. That's not their style. They don't want something extra for the house. They want... So when you think of family, when you think of a loving father, when you think of an attentive mother, they want more than anything else, and you know the feeling, especially the older you get, they want more than anything else to be with their children and grandchildren. You think about that and you read the word, and that's what we get out of our Heavenly Father, that he wants to be with us and he delights in his relationship with us. He's thrilled of his relationship with us. He has sacrificed so that he can have a relationship with us. He has initiated. He has forgiven. He has repeatedly approached us. He has given and given and given and given to make sure that he has a close relationship with us, because he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be joyful. Isaiah 62, to continue in a bit of the Old Testament. Isaiah 62, verse 4. Talking about the reestablishment of Israel. As Isaiah, through the Holy Spirit, is looking forward and talking to Israel about the reestablished kingdom of God. Now, we realize now that it would all happen in Christ. But at the time, this is the way it sounded. Isaiah 62, verse 4. It will no longer be said to you, forsaken, nor to your land will it any longer be called desolate. But you will be called, this is what his people will be called, my delight is in her, quote unquote. And your land married, for the Lord delights in you. And to him your land will be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. I want us to be sure of these things. I do better and I understand better when I realize God's motivation. Then when you run into those tougher scriptures that challenge your life, those tougher scriptures that call for your sacrifice, that call for your self-denial, that call for self-control, that seem to pull you into the difficult situation when you, boy, can't we just do it this way? It'd be a whole lot easier than going off in that direction. When you run into those things, remind yourself that your Heavenly Father is looking for what is best for you. He delights in you and loves you more than you love yourself. And we're really good at self-love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in the middle of discussing sexual problems, he says, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. When he calls to us and says, stay away from sexual messes. Don't get yourself involved in sexual sins. He gives us one place to find sexual fulfillment, and that's in the permanently committed relationship of a man and a woman in marriage. Don't look for sexual satisfaction in any other way, in any other direction, in imagery, in temporary relationships, in anything else. Flee from that. Stay away from that. And people say, well, God, that's just so much control over us having fun. That's just God being the difficult and distant judge shaking his finger at us. No. That's the loving Father who wants you to have a rich and a reward-filled life. Keep yourselves pure, you teenagers, until you're married. Do not participate in sexual activities outside of marriage. That's not some sort of manipulative, controlling God who's throwing lightning bolts around and trying to scare us. That's a Heavenly Father who wants what's best, who knows where joy is, who knows where reward is, and who knows the mess and the pain of starting and stopping and twisting relationships improperly. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're warned, verse 10, 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Verse 11, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Similarly to what we have openly sexualized society, we also have a society in which the desire for money is nearly universal. Everyone wants more of it. I won't ask you to raise hands, but you know who could use some more money? You know, I got a lot of uses for more money. God says, don't you dare love that stuff, Robert. Don't you dare go one step toward loving that stuff. Because down that road, quote, for some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith. You ready to give up your eternity with God for a temporary piece of easy living now? Not only will you do you put your own salvation on the line by putting your priority in things and money now, but and in this life, he says you pierce yourself with many griefs. Stay away from it. Don't love that stuff. If you find yourself falling in love with it, go take a job that pays less and live on less until you've learned that it's just a tool and it's just a and blessings come from God, not from the money itself. And that's not a heavenly Father who's looking to control and manipulate your life. That's a God who loves you and wants what's best for you. Obviously, there are numerous scriptures that tell us to flee. 2 Timothy 2:21 or 22. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. On and on they go. There are so many things that God cautions us about and calls us to stay away from. But I want us to remember and to know that every one of those is given to us by a heavenly Father who wants only what's best for us. Who wants us to rejoice from a God who delights in his loving relationship with us. That's the motivation of God. Just like a father who says to his son, don't you dare act that way. Stop. Let's go talk. Come here. You and I, let's go back and sit in your room and talk for a while. Because an adult father knows full well the dangers that are down that road, whichever it might have been that the son or the child was taking. God says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14:15. But I'll end this lesson in John 10:10. You see, there's another voice out there that's constantly saying that everything I just said is wrong. That what you really should do is go express yourself any way you want to. Go out and have fun. Go get all the money you can. Go run after all the gusto you can. For you only go around once in life, and if you're not having fun in this life, you've ruined it. So go seek your own fun first. He's a liar. He's the god of this world. We call him Satan. He's also a thief. And Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come, Jesus says, John 10:10, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Not only does Jesus want us to have life given to us through him by God, but he wants us to have a full, rich, joy-filled, abundant life. Life now that's based on joy of walking in Christ and serving him now, but the infinitely abundant, joyful life that we get with Father, our Father in heaven. Always remember God as Father. His rebukes are as a father. His blessings are as a father. His teachings are as a father. What I'd like you to do with this lesson, all right, is I would like you to expand your reading and studying of his word. Your heavenly Father loves you and wants what's best for you. So take that motivation and spend more time in his word, getting to know who he is and what he wants out of it. Thank you so much for your attention in this lesson today. If there are any today who have not made their faith in Christ set or fulfilled by obeying God, if you're ready to be baptized into Christ, we're ready to help you with that. If you have anything else that we can help you with, or something that you need to settle publicly with the congregation, whatever your need be, please make sure the day doesn't go by without settling it, whether it's between you and God or you and the church. We don't want any delay. But please come forward and let us know what your need is while we sing the song, if it is like that.